The trend today is toward broad-mindedness. No one is as acclaimed as the one who has developed the ability to tolerate everything. Conversely, no one is as despised as the one who will take a stand upon a higher standard, calling right right and wrong wrong. That person is often judged to be bigoted and narrow-minded, even if he's speaking against something or someone who is a proven danger to society. Why is it that in areas such as morals and religion, narrow-minded compliance to a standard is such a terrible thing, yet in areas like engineering or medicine or even weighing a head of lettuce at the market, attention to detail is demanded? Jesus said, "I am the way." Since he has spoken on this matter in such specific terms, can we not see the wisdom of being just as narrow-minded as Jesus is about an issue where he's already spoken? Let's learn of the great way that's been prepared for us.
Paul Meacham, Jr.
We welcome you to today's broadcast, and certainly our privilege to get to sit down and study God's Word together with you. Now, if you do join us regularly, you know that a number of weeks ago we began this study looking at the book of John and all of the different times that Jesus claimed to be something. He said, "I am," and then filled in the blank. He then told us what he was. And oftentimes he is giving us an earthly lesson, something that we can easily understand that helps us understand what he is spiritually. We began by noticing Jesus as the great I am from John chapter 8 and verse 58. And then John 10 and verse 36, where he said that he was the Son of God. We then noticed Jesus as the door to safety from John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus then told us that he is the light of the world, John chapter 8 and verse 12. We then last week looked at Jesus as the good shepherd. This is a perfect example of Jesus using an earthly story to teach us a heavenly truth. The people of that day were well acquainted with shepherds and what they were, and we went back and looked at Psalms chapter 23, where David, who had spent his young life as a shepherd, talked about the shepherd in heaven to help us learn what the shepherd is like. Now this week we turn our attention to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus is preparing his apostles for the time that he will leave this earth, the time that he will leave and go to heaven and leave them behind. Because of that, he's trying to comfort them. He's trying to give them assurance. He does so by telling them that he will come back and that he will come back for all those of us who are faithful to him and take us to heaven to be with him. After telling us what he's going to do, Jesus then identifies himself in verse 6 by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." By identifying himself as these three things, Jesus paints a very complete picture of himself. He shows himself first as being the way. Now, not only was Jesus the way, but he came and brought to mankind the gospel. The gospel is also called the way, and those who follow Jesus and live according to the gospel, the Bible even refers to as walking in the way. Let's look at some of those verses. First, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16, a group of the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth." Now, they didn't mean what they said. They had come to tempt Jesus, to try to trick him. But what they said was accurate. He is, in fact, true, and he did teach the way of God in truth. Notice also from Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, there we find about the man named Saul, later to be known as the Apostle Paul, and he asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus. He had asked them of the high priest there in Jerusalem, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He wanted to find those who were obedient to Christ, because they were known to be people of the way. Also notice, if you would, Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. Here Paul later is traveling, and he's in the city of Philippi, and there is a girl there who has a demon. We find out that this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That is true. The things that she accused them of doing were accurate. Paul had come to proclaim the way of salvation. He wanted the people to hear what they should do in order to receive salvation. And that gospel there is referred to as the way of salvation. Notice also Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 23. We find here that Paul's in the city of Ephesus, and he has taught some things that cause a great stir among the people. And we find out that about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. You see, Paul was telling them that Jesus came and established a church, and that they should be members of that church, that by being in Christ, in His body, they could go to heaven, and that that was the way. Paul was pretty narrow-minded about this. He didn't give them a choice or a series of options. Rather, he told them what to do. They had to be obedient to Christ. Notice, if you would, Acts 24 and verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. There are some who say that if we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we accept the New Testament law that He has given, that we are turning our backs on the Old Testament, that we're turning our backs on the law of Moses and on the prophets of the Old Testament times. But that's simply not the case. Paul didn't see himself as having turned his back on those Old Testament law and prophets. Rather, he saw himself as following Jesus the Christ, who was the fulfillment of that Old Testament law and those Old Testament prophets. From all these verses, we should learn emphatically that Jesus is the way to the Father, and that there is only one way. That believers who follow Him are often called those of the way, because they live their life according to the doctrine that Jesus has given, and that makes them look like Jesus. We also learn that there is a way of salvation, and that way can be taught, and it can be learned. And when it is learned, it can be obeyed. And when it is obeyed, it brings us to the point of salvation. We also learn that the way that Jesus has set aside for man does not contradict the Old Testament law and prophets, but rather Jesus has fulfilled them. He fulfilled the prophecies about Himself, and He established a law, even a law that the Old Testament told us would be established. He has fulfilled the law and the prophets rather than harming them. It is for that reason that we believe the law and prophets as pointing to Jesus, and we follow Jesus the Christ as our Lord and Master. We then notice that Jesus not only referred to Himself as the way, but He referred to Himself as the truth. Now, the truth can be obtained. In Proverbs 23 and verse 23, we're told to buy the truth and do not sell it. And it's good that we can obtain it, for it is truth that sanctifies us. In John 17, verse 17, we're told, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. In verse 19, He said that He sanctified Himself, that we also may be sanctified by the truth. It is the truth that sets us apart for the holy purpose of serving God. It is also the truth that sets us free from sin. In John 8, verse 32, we're told, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is a very comforting passage to me, for it tells me that I can know what is the right way, and I can know whether or not I'm walking in the right way, and that that right way will make me free from sin. But in order for it to do so, the truth must be obeyed. Do you remember Paul when he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Now, at one time, these Galatian brethren had heard the truth and had obeyed the truth. They had lived according to it. But then we're told that someone bewitched them. By that, it means that they were tricked, that they were fooled into doing something that wasn't good for them. What they had been tricked into doing is leaving the way of truth, leaving that way of salvation that Paul preached. Because of that, we're told that they were seen as bewitched. Notice also the writing of Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, because the Galatians had been tricked into not obeying the truth. Whereas Peter writes to those in verse 22, he says, "Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Peter sees us as obeying the truth, and by obeying the truth, we purify our souls. We need to understand that Jesus is the truth, that He came and delivered the way of truth to mankind, and by doing so, He established a law that we must obey. When we do obey it, it will sanctify us. When we obey it, it will purify us. When we obey it, it will set us free from sin. But we must be obedient to it. Jesus also identified Himself as the life, the way, the truth, and the life. John began his book in John 1, verses 1 through 4, as identifying Jesus as life and the giver of life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, John 1 and verse 4. But He only gives life to those who hear. In John 5 and verse 25, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." We need to understand that we can live, we can be free, we can be sanctified and purified, but only by coming to the One who is the way, the truth, and the life. For no man can come to the Father but through the Christ. In just a moment, I'll return.
We at Truth for the World would like to offer you a free Bible correspondence course, which is non-denominational. It's based strictly upon the Word of God and not the creeds or traditions of men. You can receive this course by writing to us today. Our address is Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, Georgia 30096. Again, that's Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, that's D-U-L-U-T-H, Georgia 30096.
In the book of John, Jesus identifies Himself to us as the bread of life and says that we must partake of Him. He refers to it as eating His flesh and drinking His blood. For if we are not partakers of Him, we cannot have life. But if we are partakers of Him, we have eternal life, and He will raise us up at that last day. Come to Jesus and come to Him in obedience, and you too can have that eternal life given by the way, the truth, and the life.